Welcome to English for International Students. We are so glad to have you back.
Yeah.
This week we will be covering some different expressions. This is episode 3.5, Idioms Unpacked. So we'll talk about some of the idioms you heard in the last podcast. And what do we mean by idioms exactly?
We mean expressions which don't literally mean the words that are in them. So if you translate it literally, it's not going to make sense.
Exactly. Okay. So I feel like we covered quite a few of those in the last podcast. Just so you know, you can find a list of all of the idioms and expressions we're talking about today on the blog. That's englishpodcastblog.wordpress.com. So I know we said they would be up there last week and they weren't, but we promise that they will be up there this week.
For real.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so let's get started. The first expression that we have on the list is the real world. The real world. So I think in the podcast we were talking about, I don't remember the exact context where we said that, but usually it's something that people say to describe like the working world, or like if you're in university, people say, well, I know you're learning this concept about engineering, but actually in the real world, meaning like in the working world, this is how it will be applied.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys say that's accurate?
Yeah, it's kind of like outside of your comfort zone. Like you're in your comfortable nest in your university, but the real world is when you leave your university and things are no longer like arranged for you.
Yeah.
It's like when things stop being polite and start being real.
Yeah.
Start getting real.
That is a reference, audience.
Mm-hmm.
The real world.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually forgot about that TV show.
Yeah, that was, those were some sad days in not American history.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, the next idiom is leaves a little something to be desired. Leaves a little something to be desired. So what this means is basically if something leaves a little something to be desired, that means that it's insufficient.
Yeah.
Or not quite enough, not quite what I was wanting. So let's say that I have a meal, let's say that I eat lunch, and it's not great, it's just okay, and I'm not totally full. And then afterwards I can say, that left a little something to be desired. It's like, it could have been more, it could have been better.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people try and use that as a polite expression to say that something was unsatisfactory. Mm-hmm. So if someone said like, hey, how's that class that you're taking?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, it leaves a little something to be desired. Like, it's not that good, but I don't want to say it's bad.
Right. But it's a nice way of saying it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Mm. The next on our list is not my cup of tea, which I actually just heard about where this expression came from another podcast, Grammar Girl. I feel I should say hello.
I like Grammar Girl. Hi, Grammar Girl.
Hi, Grammar Girl. So I'm probably going to mix everything up, but not my cup of tea, you might guess, comes from the British because they love their tea to the point of obsession, apparently. So a long time ago, back in the day, if something was like really great, it was your cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere that part, because I don't think we really say, oh, that's my cup of tea. You only say that's not my cup of tea, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people say my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I think not my cup of tea is more common.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just your cup of tea would be something that you obsessively love. And so if it's not your cup of tea, it's not that important to you.
Yeah, you don't really like it.
Yeah.
So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's also kind of like a polite way of saying, it's okay, but it's not really for me. Like, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody invited me to play basketball, I would say, basketball is not really my cup of tea. That means it's not really my thing.
Yeah. And people say not really my cup of tea pretty often, as opposed to just not my cup
and
of tea.
And that's a softener.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it's even a hedging more device. Polite.
Yes.
Exactly. Keep it polite, people.
Yeah.
So the next idiom we have on the list is insider information. Insider information. So this describes basically an insider is someone who is within a group, and so the idea is that maybe they know certain things about that group or about what's going on in like even an organization, something like that, that other people outside wouldn't know. So insider information is kind of like secret information or something that only people very close to this idea would know. So in the podcast, we talked about it in the context of people who are in a culture knowing kind of the inside workings of that culture that other people who are just observers might not be able to see from the outside.
Right.
Yeah.
That one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is the cookie cutter perspective. Repeat. The cookie cutter perspective. So you can kind of break this one down a little bit. First of all together it means the standard view of things, the view of things that most people have. The view of things that most people have. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we also just use cookie cutter by itself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's very cookie cutter, or she's very cookie cutter. That means pretty much mainstream.
Yeah.
It kind of means mainstream. So I could say the cookie cutter perspective of life is that you should be married and start having kids in your 20s.
Yeah.
That's like a cookie cutter perspective. That means it's the standard. It's the view that most people hold.
Yeah, and maybe it would help if we describe too, like what exactly a cookie cutter
Oh
is.
yeah.
So, like a cookie cutter is the thing that if you want to make cookies where they will all be in the same shape, like let's say I want to make star cookies, that I use like a little metal or a plastic shape to actually cut the dough to make them all the same shape. So that's kind of like when we say cookie cutter, everything is the same, everything is standard. So if I said like I'm not a cookie cutter student, meaning maybe like I work full time, I only go to school part time, something like that. Yeah.
But this is not to say that cookies are bad at all.
Cookies are
This
great.
is
They're
not a
really
statement
good.
against cookies.
No,
Yeah.
I mean, but you can make cookies without a cookie cutter. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Me too. And they're really weird looking, so.
Yeah, but cookie cutter cookies are good too. You know, like if you want to be a cookie cutter person,
That's
that's
okay.
fine. I
Have
mean,
at it.
hello.
You do
Our
you.
world has to be have a lot of cookie cutter people.
Yeah.
And cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That cleared that one up. The next one is quote unquote, which I don't know when we used it, but actually we should have left that. Do you want to say?
Oh, what
Because
quote
whatever was
unquote?
gone, like as an example,
Oh, well, I
don't speak
think
the same
when we
way.
said quote unquote, it may have been about the cookie cutter perspective, actually, like, or something like that. But when we say quote
I think you
unquote,
said standard view.
yeah, the
Oh,
quote
standard.
unquote standard view.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like in the same way that you would put quotation marks if you were writing something, meaning that maybe other people don't agree or you're using that term in some way to kind of highlight it, we verbalize it as saying the quote unquote cookie cutter perspective or the quote unquote standard perspective, meaning we want people to kind of visualize those quotation
Yeah.
marks.
And it also means that we want people to know that it's not our opinion that we're saying. It's
Yeah.
somebody else's opinion. Like, well, she's the quote unquote best student. So it's like, I don't think she's the best student, but that's what people say.
Yeah. Yeah, it just indicates that either I disagree with this or someone might disagree with this, that it's somehow like, yeah, we're
That it's
like,
not fact. You're
yeah.
basically saying it's not fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, who's next? Because we kind of got out of order.
Scary good. Scary good. So this one was discussed regarding Mongolian.
Yes.
Yes. And so the kind of equivalent of what is it?
Amrkoy.
But you guys knew that. So,
Yeah.
what is this? It just means something is great. It's not actually scary at all. Or maybe it does give you an overwhelming sense of joy because it's
Yes.
so good.
It's an intensifier.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be an extreme intensifier. It's like, it's not just good, it's not just really good, it's not just amazing, it is scary good. Like, yeah. I am scared it is so good.
Yeah. And you could use it about, like, other things, too. So, mm-hmm. if I said, like, oh, Rachel's so polite, and you were like, how polite is she? I was like, scary polite.
And
like,
that might be negative, actually. That might be kind of creepy.
Yeah, if someone was scary polite, that would be very confusing.
Yeah.
Like, but that was the example I could think,
wow. think
of.
Like, so polite that you're afraid they're going to, like, pull out a gun and shoot you or something.
Yeah.
It's not polite.
Yeah.
Like, we use this a lot of times, I think, to describe, for example, athletes.
Yeah.
Like, let's say just today I was watching roller derby.
Okay.
And I was watching my favorite roller derby player. This is, roller derby's a sport, okay? I was watching my favorite player, Scald Eagle. Mm-hmm. And I said to my dad, because I was making him watch it too, I said, Scald Eagle is scary good.
Okay.
Like, she's so good that you're just like...
You're like, how? How is she that good?
How is it possible? She can't be human. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Scary good.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
Okay. So, something G-rated. That's the next one on the list. Something G-rated. So, you guys may be familiar with the rating system for movies where... the movies that are, like, okay for kids are considered G-rated. That's, like, the lowest rating, all the way up to R-rated. I know not every country, like, observes that rating system, but you can look up information about it online if you want. But G-rating is, like, it means, like, that's okay for kids. It's,
for
like...
general audiences.
Yeah, for general audiences. It's the most mild. So, if we say, like, I think Rachel gave the example of, like, she had... accidentally said a lot of things in Mongolian mm-hmm. that were maybe like questionable, but she chose an example that was G-rated, something right. that was like comfortable to share in front of anyone.
Yes.
Yeah, G-rated.
Yes.
So sometimes people say like, whoa, keep it G-rated. Like mm-hmm. if someone's saying something or like maybe they're using language they shouldn't in a certain situation, people might say something like that.
Yes. G-rated is just like it does not contain adult content.
Yeah, exactly.
Or violent themes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the next one is thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. So what this means is it just means thankfully. It's like an adverb. It's like thank goodness I got an A on my test. Thankfully, it's just like I'm thankful. And it I think originally started as thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. So there's, you know, I think every language probably has an equivalent to this.
Yeah.
It's just thank God this. Thankfully that, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. And people, I think, use it a lot of times. Like someone said like, yeah, hey, I heard you got an A on the test. And that person might respond like, yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Like, thankfully.
Yeah. Thankfully. So it's pretty much used adverbially. It's yeah. used as an adverb. Thank yeah. goodness. Oh, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I get the next one. Ooh, make yes. a wow. fool of myself. Again, make a fool of myself. This might be something that happens if you're trying to... I was just going to make a fool of myself and talk about me. But it's mm-hmm. what? When you embarrass yourself, sort of?
Yeah.
Just in general?
Yeah.
You're trying to do something and you fail. And maybe people laugh at you if they are not scary polite.
Yeah.
So I think I used the example in the earlier episode of like when I told this group of students that something really big and bad was happening and I scared them and turns out I was completely wrong. So I made a fool of myself. But you can also use this phrase to say that someone made a fool out of you. So, and that's usually, like, kind of serious. So if you say, I made a fool out of myself, usually that's kind of, it could be funny, it could be serious. But if you say to someone, like, you made a fool out of me, uh-huh. that's, like, scary. That's kind of serious.
Yeah.
It means that they really did something to, like, make you feel ashamed or embarrassed in front of other people.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
It's not fun to be told that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make a fool out of it anyone else but yourself.
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so the next one on the list is trying to show off.
Mm-hmm.
So to show off means basically you're trying to draw attention to yourself and like show how good you are. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you're, what's a circumstance where people try to show off?
Sports.
Yeah, sports.
Yeah. So people like try to do some crazy awesome move or like mm-hmm. show off their skills, even yeah. if it's not really like advantageous yeah. to whatever's happening. They're just trying to show people how great they are.
Right, that exactly. would
be showing off.
And often it's when you're trying to show off that you make a fool of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Sometimes people do it with like knowledge too. Like, oh, well, good for you. You know, they try to show how much they know and people are like, oh.
Yeah, like, you know, that guy in class who's always trying to answer all the questions yeah. or say things to show how much he knows.
And then in that case, you could call someone a show-off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he's a show-off.
Oh, he's such a show-off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next, dicey situation. Dicey situation. Okay, so to know what this means, it's important to look at the word dicey, mm-hmm. which is an adjective for dice. What is dice? It's those little square things with black dots on them, which you throw. Mm-hmm. And they, huh? Mm-hmm. Which you can gamble with.
Yeah.
You can gamble with them. And if you don't know what gamble means, it means to, you know, bet money. So you might make money, you might lose money. Mm. Dicey, it's dice. Okay, so dicey means risky mm-hmm. or uncertain. Like, it's a pretty dicey situation. You're taking a risk. So, for example, let's say that I decided to, climb a cliff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A dicey. Rock cliff. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm really doing here is I'm gambling with my life.
the most serious gamble of all.
Yes, I could fall off of that cliff easily and die. It's a very dicey situation. I'm taking a huge risk by doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how we used it in the podcast.
I don't either.
Dicey. Yeah. But dicey can also be, you know, not in a life-threatening way. Like, yeah. It could be, well, can you give me an example?
Yeah, like, let's say you have three tests in a class and mm-hmm. you made bad grades on the first two mm-hmm. tests. So, like, now you're in a dicey situation. Like, you really have to do well on the third test mm-hmm. to pass the class. Mm-hmm. The situation is dicey. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're only allowed three absences in a class mm-hmm. and you go ahead and just take two of them because you're lazy, then you have put yourself in a dicey situation. Because who knows what could happen, mm-hmm. you know? And you might have to, I mean, I'm sorry, if you take your three absences that are yeah. allowed, and you're like, no, nah, I'm good, I won't get any more absences, that's a dicey situation because you could get hit by a car on your way to school.
You could fall off a cliff that you were trying to climb. You could fall off a cliff.
Of course, hopefully your teacher would excuse those yeah. types of absences, but
it all depends on the teacher.
Never
yeah. yeah.
Okay, next is on guard, mm-hmm. which is not to be confused with sword fighting.
Yeah.
On guard.
On guard.
Or is it? No. No, okay. I was like, no.
No, because so it's O-N instead of E-N.
Yeah.
But the whole idea, like, get on your guard. And so if you're on guard, you're guarded. Is that mm-hmm. the way we're going with this? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't want to reveal all of yourself mm-hmm. in a way. That sounds too personal. Help me.
you're not letting yourself be, you're not making yourself vulnerable.
You're not trying to show off.
Yeah. Or maybe you're like super aware of everything that's going on. Like mm-hmm. I feel like when you're in a dicey situation, you feel on guard. Like mm-hmm. anything could happen right now. So I'm just ready for something yeah. that could happen. So you're usually being cautious and really
yes.
aware.
Yes. Cautious.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay. Our next and final idiom on the list is pride comes before the fall.
Which isn't really an idiom. It's more of a wise
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, it's like a, it's what's the word for that?
It's a proverb.
A proverb, yeah.
It's a proverb.
Pride comes before the fall. Mm-hmm. And basically what that means is that kind of what we were talking about, when mm-hmm. you try to show off, mm-hmm. you run the risk of making a fool of yourself.
Yes.
So if you are being very prideful and you're showing off, then there is a very good chance that that is going to lead to you falling, like you being embarrassed in front of other people. So sometimes if your friend is showing off and then they make a fool of themselves, you might say, well, pride comes before the fall.
Because that person was too proud. And I think that a lot, if not all, cultures around the world have a similar proverb.
Yeah.
So if you think about, for example, Titanic. I love Titanic. Remember the boat, Titanic?
Yeah.
The movie.
So, well, yeah, I mean, you can see it in the movie. So they said, this ship is unsinkable.
Yeah.
God himself could not sink this ship. At least not that they said in the movie. I don't know. But
guess what?
And then what happened? The ship sunk.
Spoilers.
Because pride comes before the fall.
True that.
Because if you're proud, you're not on guard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, see how we just wove all of those together?
You weave it all together. You're trying to show off. You're not on guard. You put yourself in a dicey situation, and you end up making a fool of yourself.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Beautifully covered.
Yeah.
So we hope that you guys enjoyed all of these idioms and expressions and even one bonus proverb.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Yeah. Remember that you can email us at english.podcast.ttu@gmail.com. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear the kind of things that you would be interested to know about on the podcast, the things that you're liking, and the things that you feel like leave a little something to be desired. So we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Go ahead and put out your cookie cutter perspectives or even your non-cookie cutter perspectives.
Keep it G-rated.
Perfect. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next time.
Bye.